Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Well, hey everyone, it's Pastor Ben, and I pre-recorded this message this week because earlier this week I tested positive for COVID. So it's been a little bit of a rough week, and I am feeling better than I was, but we figured to be on the safe side, we would pre-record this message because I still wanted to preach it to you because it's been on my heart and I really wanted to be able to share it with you this weekend. And we've been going through the book of Colossians. And Colossians is an incredible book. It tells us so much about how we can interact with the world around us today. There's so much that's going on in our world, and what are we supposed to think about it? Well, Colossians actually gives us a framework for how we can interact with what's happening in our world today. So, for example, in chapter 1, we learned what Jesus has done for us and who he is. That what he did for us on the cross and who he is, that everything in creation was made by him and for him. When we understand the magnificence of Christ, that changes the way that we view the events in our world, because we know that Jesus is in charge. And then when we realize that, then we know when Jesus is the reason for all life, that's why any teaching that doesn't line up with who he is not helpful to us. And we might as well just get rid of it because it's not going to do us any good. And so that's why false teaching is such a big, important deal that Paul dealt with and that we deal with still today. And then we looked at the fact that we are called to take off the old life and put on the new life. That there's this invitation to a new way of living. What an incredible revelation. And then not only that, but next week, Pastor Joel is going to finish off the series by talking to us about how we can change our relationships, our most intimate relationships and some of our most regular relationships, how they can look different because of Jesus in our lives. So today, what I want to talk to you about is what Paul talks to the church about in the next part of chapter 3, and that's the idea of peace. Now, peace, that's a pretty hard thing to come by these days. I mean, we're all getting inundated with news of the war in Ukraine, and it starts to cause us to worry about nuclear war that could reach our own shores. And that bothers us. But even here at home, in our own country, there's been civil unrest for almost 3 years. There's so many people in our country that are divided, and they can't see eye to eye. And so there's been unrest here. And not just in society, but even in homes, even in families, even in friendships, people have drawn battle lines and they've chosen sides. And then we look at even the church. And over the last couple of years, it's been a big deal that there's been churches that have been put in the spotlight because of the scandals and wrongdoing that have taken place in those churches, the failures of leadership. And then, of course, we've all heard of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars. And it just shows that even among celebrities, people that often, you know, in times past we would look up to, even in that group of people, people are going, who are we supposed to turn to? And so it seems like peace can't be found anywhere, especially inner peace. Inner peace is the thing that we all want so badly. But let me ask you, when was the last time you truly felt peace? When was the last time you really felt peace in your heart and in your soul? Now, with that in mind, I want us to turn to the scripture today. And we're going to pick up in Colossians 3, verse 15. And let's see what Paul writes to the church in these verses. He starts by saying this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What an incredible statement that we are supposed to let his peace rule in our heart. That means it's in charge. That means that his peace would call the shots in our lives and in our heart. And whether you realize it or not, what Paul is indicating is that you were designed to have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart. You were designed for that. But notice that he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So we get to allow his peace. That's a super interesting idea. Because like I said, in chapter one, we learned that Jesus is preeminent. He is above all. So how is it that the supreme ruler of the entire universe doesn't have sovereignty or jurisdiction over the human heart? How is it that we're the ones who get to decide whether he comes in or not? Well, throughout the scriptures, from the Garden of Eden all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, we see that though Christ is sovereign over all, there's this one thing that he's allowed people to have a choice over. It's the only area of free will that we truly have, is whether we're going to live under his rule or not, whether we're going to listen to his ways and his voice or not. Every single thing we do in life, we get that choice. So Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So let me ask you a question. It's the question I already asked you. When's the last time you truly felt peace in your heart? See, if we don't feel peace in our heart and in our lives, it's a pretty good indication that his peace isn't ruling our lives right now. And so let me ask you another question. Does the peace of Christ rule in your heart? Again, if you're not feeling peace very regularly, it's a pretty good indication that his peace isn't ruling. Now, of course, we can allow it in. I mean, we simply can submit and repent. We simply can change. And we cry out to God and we say, I want your peace. The Bible says that when we pray like that, God will give us a peace that's beyond our circumstances. So it's not rooted in circumstances. It's rooted in faith. It's rooted in receiving what he has for us. But if you're not experiencing that peace, the question that we have to wrestle with then is, what else might be sitting on the throne of your heart besides the peace of Christ? So for example, let's pretend that this thing right here, this little podium here, that this is the throne of your heart. And so what else might be sitting on the throne of your heart? Is it maybe pride? Maybe pride is what's been sitting on the throne of your heart. And it, you know, pride can look like a lot of things, but usually it's we believe that we're better than other people. And so maybe it's pride. Maybe for you, it's lust. Maybe lust has been sitting on the throne of your heart, and it's actually what's controlling your life. Now, lust can look like a sexual addiction, but lust can just be the need for more, that you always want more in life, more food. Maybe feeding a sexual addiction. It could be more experiences. Lust can be a lot of things. And so lust can be one of the things that sits on the throne of our heart. Maybe for you, it's greed. Maybe you think, if I can just get enough money and enough stuff, well, then I'll be happy. Then life will finally work out for me if I can just do that. So maybe greed has been sitting on the throne of your heart. Maybe it's been worry. I mean, do you worry a lot? I mean, we all worry, but do you worry a lot? Like, do you have to figure out everything that's going to happen in life next? And that you're just filled with fear and worry about what's going to happen next. And you've always got to try to figure out how to get ahead of it. And Jesus said you can't add a moment to your life by worrying. But maybe for some of us, worry is what is controlling the throne of our heart. Maybe it's control. Maybe you have a need for control. That you say, I've got to be in charge of everything. I've got to make sure life works out for me. Because if I can't do that, then who knows what's going to happen to me? And so maybe control is really what's at the throne of your heart. Or maybe it's anger. And anger's usually tied to insecurity. And I'll tell you that this week, this one has been messing with me. Because I knew I was going to preach this message, and I knew that I wasn't feeling well. And so I had moments this week where I was trying to prepare for my message, but guess what? My wife and all my boys are at home because though only three of us tested positive for COVID, my other two sons have to stay home anyway because of policies. And so, you know, it's I'm sure that you can all understand that when you're at home with little kids for long periods of time, it can start to get you a little bit frustrated. What I realized is I was getting angry and being short with my family. And I thought, man, maybe anger has been creeping back up onto the throne of my heart. And maybe it's because there's some insecurity here. Maybe I'm worried that because I'm sick, I'm not going to deliver the message that is on my heart that I really wanted to deliver. And so I had to deal with that. And so ask yourself, what is it that's on the throne of your heart? And again, if you're worrying or you're wondering and you're saying, I don't know, like I think maybe there is something else on the throne of my heart. Here's four simple questions you can ask to really diagnose whether the peace of Christ is ruling your heart or whether something else is. So here's the four questions. When life gets stressful, what sort of thoughts fill my mind? What am I most afraid of? What does my calendar or bank account reveal about my priorities? And how would those who know me best describe how I normally treat them? Now, these four questions, they're easy questions. They're not the only questions to ask, but they will help reveal the state of your heart. And then again, we have to ask ourselves that question. Is the peace of Christ ruling my heart? And if it isn't, we simply submit and repent and allow his peace to rule our hearts. And then what happens when we let his peace come in, when we do that, when we repent of all of these other things, then the peace of Christ can truly come in and rule in our hearts. Now, this is a gift I got when I did missions work in El Salvador. And it's Jesus making the peace sign. And I just thought, man, what a great representation of Jesus bringing the peace of Christ to our hearts. And so the peace of Christ can truly rule in our hearts when we can diagnose what might be sitting on the throne of our heart, getting rid of it, and then inviting, letting his peace in. Now, when we start to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, how do you think that impacts the church? Well, Paul seems to think that it makes a pretty big difference in how the church operates. So let's look at verse 16, and let's see what he says about how this will impact the church. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And so Paul, he paints this picture of a group of brothers and sisters in Christ allowing this message to dwell richly within them. And again, he says that word, let the message dwell. And so it's something we allow to happen in the church. And he says, how do you do it? How do you let it dwell? Well, it's by encouraging one another. It's by singing songs together. It's by admonishing one another and teaching one another. I mean, you know, he gives us all these ideas. It's about enjoying gratitude with one another. And so Paul paints a picture of a church where you can teach and admonish one another and encourage one another, and yet everyone is still thankful, where you can truly receive grace and truth. And so a good question to ask ourselves is, how are my relationships with other Christians? How are my relationships with other Christians? Now, in today's day and age, we sometimes think it's okay to have divisive relationships with other Christians. And usually it's because of opinions about politics, or maybe about how church ought to be done, especially worship. Maybe certain lifestyle choices that Christians, you know, the stuff that's within the freedom of Christ, the conscience realm of Christianity. And these are the things that can sometimes divide us. We talked about a lot of this stuff in our Come Together series. But here's the thing that happens. Because of that, we sometimes think it's okay to be divisive with other Christians. And we'll even sometimes say things like that we think that Christian is dumb or kind of foolish. And yet Jesus said, if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of the flames of hell. So our relationships with other Christians actually is a good barometer for how well the peace of Christ and the message of Christ is dwelling richly within us. And so it's a good question to ask ourselves. But when we actually enter into this kind of community, it's a beautiful thing. It's incredible. Because what happens is it's a community where you can be fully known and fully loved without fear. See, you can actually share what's going on in your life and you can receive grace and truth, but you don't have the fear of being ostracized. You get to experience the goodness and the healing of Jesus. And that's an incredible thing. Because who wants to be a part of a fake community where no one can be real and no one can actually talk about what's really going on, where everyone just pretends like everything's fine? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be in that kind of community. And so Paul talks about how when we live this way, that we get to be a part of community where you can be fully known and fully loved without fear. And that is something that we would all be thankful for, which is why it ends in gratitude. Now then Paul, he goes on to say, so if that were happening in the church, what would the overflow of that be? Like, how would that start to impact the world around us? Well, if we had the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, and we allowed that to impact the way we live as a church family, well, Paul says what will happen is that we will all become a walking, talking testimony of Jesus. So we're going to read the third verse for today. We're only doing three verses. This is all coming out of three verses in the book of Colossians. And so let's look at verse 17 and see what Paul says. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, it strikes me how much Paul uses the words like gratitude and thankfulness in this passage, because thanks and gratitude just go together with peace. They just do. But here's the other thing that Paul just said, that everything we do would point people to Jesus. Not some of what we do, not a few things that we do, everything that we do would point people to Jesus. So this applies at home, at school, at work, at the mall, online, in the comments, at the grocery store, wherever you find yourself, wherever you have a presence, you are a representative of Jesus, because he says, do it all in the name of Jesus, which means that you would be his representative if you're doing it in his name. So we have to reckon with that. Are we really doing that? And so the question you can ask yourself is, does everything that I do point people to Jesus? Does everything that I do point people to Jesus? Because that's what we're called to do. Now, this reminds me of my friend Gary Collins, a good friend of mine. He actually went home to be with Jesus back in December. And so I was pretty sad about that, but it was also, I think, a good homecoming for him. But Gary lived like 8 decades, and he lived them really well because everything he did pointed people to Jesus. And I mean, like, everything he did, it was his goal in life. This is one of his favorite passages. And he was like, he said, Ben, I want everything I do and everything I say to point people to Jesus. And so he was an international speaker. He wrote over 60 books. He was a distinguished professor at multiple universities. He essentially created the field of Christian counseling. He literally wrote the book on it. And so the idea there is that he was a pretty big deal. And yet I would watch him treat the busboy at a restaurant with the same amount of dignity as he would the president of a university or the head person at a publishing company. Yeah. And I watched him interact with these different people. And I thought, wow, like Gary really does everything to point people to Jesus. Cause to him, every person is someone who matters and their story matters. And so you'd find out about them and their story. And it was just incredible to watch. Not only that, but his wife had Alzheimer's. And he would take care of her every day. And I never heard him complain. I heard him cry. I know there was moments that he felt overwhelmed and frustrated. But if anything, he would thank God for every day that God gave him with his wife. He would thank God for the opportunity to take care of her. I mean, in the way he interacted with his daughters and his friends, and even just the way that he would take care of his daily tasks, he just thought, if as long as whatever I'm doing can point people to Jesus, that's all I want. And he would just talk about Jesus anytime and anywhere that he could with people. And so he truly knew what it meant to point people to Jesus. But if I'm going to be honest with you, even as a pastor, sometimes this idea overwhelms me. Because I say that I want my entire life to point people to Jesus, but there are moments where my actions reveal that I don't. There are moments that I do things that don't point people to Jesus. And there's actually a word for this. Psychologists call it cognitive dissonance. It's having inconsistencies in belief, thoughts, or behaviors. Or more simply put, a cognitive dissonance is when we say one thing and we do another. When we say one thing and we do another. Now, when Paul wrote to the Roman church, he said this was part of the human condition. He said it like this. He goes, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I hate doing, that's what I do. And so Paul is trying to help people see this is the human condition. I mean, how many times have you done this? How many times have you tried to do something and you wound up doing something different? Maybe you said, I'm going to give up sugar today. And then you come into the office and someone has brought in donuts. or maybe you said, I'm going to work out this week and you didn't. Or maybe it's something much bigger than that. Maybe you said, till death do us part, only to find yourself in the arms of another lover. Maybe you said, I paid all my taxes, when in fact you didn't. Or maybe you said, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I still crawl back up on the throne sometimes. I still put other stuff on the throne of my heart. And I don't always let him call the shots. And so we're fragmented. We're divided in our very heart. And this is why King David prayed this prayer. He said, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." See, the peace of Christ, it'll actually heal a divided heart within us. It'll bring us to a place of wholeness. Because see, Jesus, he doesn't want you to live a fractured, fragmented, broken life. No, in fact, Jesus actually wants you to live life holy and holy. You heard me right, holy and holy. He wants you to live holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning he wants you to live a whole life, not fragmented, not broken up. Are we broken people? Yeah, we are. But here's what I've been learning about what it means to follow Jesus, is that when I came to Jesus, he told me that he is a doctor for the sick. And I came to him because I was sick. I was sick in my heart. And he said he could heal me. And so it's a lifelong process, but there is a way where we can lean into the healing of Jesus. So what I've come to realize is that though I am broken, my identity isn't in my brokenness. My identity is in Christ, in whom I find my healing and my wholeness. Now, he also said he wants us to live lives that are holy, H-O-L-Y. Now, to be holy means to be set apart, to be different. So does that mean, oh, okay, so then we shouldn't drink alcohol because that's what sinners do, right? Well, no, not so much, because Jesus drank all the time. He just never got drunk. He never sinned. No, it was actually the religious leaders in Jesus's time who were obsessed with rules and with appearing holy rather than being holy. See, this is more about being than it is about doing. And to be holy, that means that holiness has to be in our heart. That means the roots have to go way down deep into our heart. And then holiness comes out of us. Instead of trying to look holy, we can actually be holy. And I think this is why Paul said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," because then we can truly be holy. So let me ask you this. What would happen if we truly lived this way? Think about it. What would happen if all of us truly had the peace of Christ living within our hearts? What would happen if, as a church family, we had this community where people could be fully known and fully loved without fear, where they could really receive grace and truth together? And what would happen if everything we did pointed people to Jesus? Well, I believe it would change the world. I mean, think about this. Why are we all Christ followers? It's because, if you trace it all the way back, there's 120 people in Jerusalem who took God seriously. And they took this seriously, and they applied it to their lives. And because they lived like Paul is talking about, thousands of people joined them because they said, "That's the kind of community that I want to be a part of." And it changed the world. There are kingdom communities all around the world because of that group of people taking it seriously. And in January, Pastor Joel, he issued a challenge to us. He talked to us about a vision that God had given him for what our church could be in the Fox Valley. That we could actually be the kind of church that because of the peace of Christ, because we take the Bible seriously, because we actually live out the lives that Jesus has called us to live, we live like Jesus in our community, that it could change our homes, our workplaces, our schools. It would change the community. That wherever Christ followers are, the city should look different. And that maybe 10 years down the road, people would come to the Fox Valley just to visit. And they would look at their friend or their family member who they're visiting, and they would say, "What is it about this place? It's just, I don't know, something seems different here. Like, it just seems like a really great community, but like, I just can't put my finger on it." And that person would say, even if they weren't a Christ follower, that they would go, "Well, I don't know how else to put it, but it's the Christians. It's the people of God. It's the church. They make this a great community to live in." What a testimony that would be. So imagine that we actually did that. And imagine the generations and the nations that could be impacted because of it. We could truly see revival in our generation, in this place. But that's only going to begin as a revival in our own hearts, when we let the peace of Christ sit on the throne of our heart, when we experience revival in our own soul, in our own life, in our own heart, and then we allow that to spill over into the church, and then from the church it spills over into the community and into the world. What a compelling vision and picture that we're being called into with three little verses in the book of Colossians. So we must let the peace of Christ rule in our own hearts. And so remember those three questions that we looked at today. The first question is, does the peace of Christ rule my heart? Do you know that the peace of Christ is ruling your heart? Because if it's not, you can make a change today. You can allow his peace to rule your heart. You simply just have to ask him, and you'll receive. The second question we get to ask ourselves is, how are my relationships with other Christians? Because that's a good barometer for how well the peace of Christ is ruling in our heart. And that third question we looked at is, does everything I do point people to Jesus? Does everything I do, every little thing, does it point people to Jesus? And most likely the answer is no. This is a lifelong process, but the more that we can rely on the Holy Spirit and the more that we can feel the peace of God in our own hearts, in our own lives, we can continue to become closer to that reality. And we're going to do it together as a church family. Well, today, this idea of receiving the peace of Christ has really gripped me. And so what I want to do is I actually want to end by reading a benediction over you from the scriptures. And it's actually three benedictions mixed into one, because they're three of my favorite benedictions from the scriptures. And they all talk about peace. And so what I want to do is I want to read them over you as a prayer for how we end today. And so so as a symbol of receiving, you could actually put your hands out like this if you want as we pray. You can close your eyes. You can put your hands out like this as a symbol of receiving, not from me, but from the very word of God, from God himself. So if you feel comfortable, you can put your hands out like that. Close your eyes, and let's end with these scriptures as a prayer, a benediction over each of our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.